The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
To a very special edition of Stunt Granny Audio. This edition is being recorded the weekend of the George Tragos, Lou Fez Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame induction at the Dan Gable Museum National Wrestling Hall of Fame in Waterloo, Iowa. Oh my God, everybody, it's Eric Nelson along with Dan Keister and Matt. Tell me how you pronounce your last name because I'm an asshole.
Fanatic, but you could say Steets too.
There you go, okay.
Steets, we're shooting.
Matt, the WWE fanatic, and Zura are joining Rampage underscore Rick here for a special audio recapping what happened this weekend in Waterloo, Iowa, at all of the good old George Tragos Lou Fez Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame ceremony events and activities. I guess real quick, remind me, Matt, is this your first time in Waterloo?
Oh, definitely my first time in Waterloo, Iowa. I smelt it on the way there, so I knew I was getting close, according to some people I heard. But, first time in Waterloo and first ever indie show, and both experiences were outstanding. Couldn't be better if I was George Clooney.
Jesus. I hope someone got a good picture of that when it comes out. Clearly, we'll talk about that here in a little bit. Yeah, you're right about the smell, though, and Dan, you can corroborate this, too. We love Waterloo. I used to work there for about 3 years. I shouldn't say anything bad about it, but Colt Cabana was right. Something smells like horse shit, like literal. Not like horse shit bullshit, but like it smells like animal feces when you come into town.
Your entire state of Iowa seems to suffer from a lot of that affliction, as Colt mentioned. I mean, we stopped a few places, and the odor was a bit much. Now that I'm back in God's country of Missouri, I haven't smelled any of that. So that's a slight drawback of Waterloo, but it's really the only one, as Matt said. It's a first-class event run by first-class people, and everything is really catered to the fan, and, of course, it's a good opportunity for these guys to get together and tell old war stories and stuff. But, anyone, I think we'll close with this, but anyone that hears this is an opener that considers at all going to the Hall of Fame, I mean, if you're on Stunt Granny, you should let us know. I mean, we're going to try and expand this thing, and it's truly a once in a lifetime opportunity that, you know, a lot of us are going to be fortunate enough to do more than once. But can't say enough positive things about the experience.
JR said it very astutely off camera at some point during the banquet last night. You know how to find a map. You know how to Google map. You got GPS. You can find your way to Waterloo. Come on, why don't you do it? So that's
absolutely.
You know, what better testimony than JR? Real quick, I'm going to run down what happened this weekend. Friday night was an Impact Pro Wrestling card. Go to www.impactprowrestling.com for more information on those guys. Troy Peterson, the promoter, puts on a great show, a fun show, and he's so involved with the museum. It's great to have somebody like him in the state of Iowa that devotes so much time to the museum. Of course, Friday night, got to close down the bar with some of the pro wrestlers. Saturday noon to afternoon was a lot of stuff at the museum, the Q&A session, autograph signing, and all that good stuff. And then Friday evening, reception and a banquet, followed by the actual induction ceremony, videotaped for a future DVD release. Pretty sure somewhere in there was some money winning at the casino, probably even a lot of extra beer drinking. Good times had by all. Dan, what do you think about, let's start with the Impact Pro Wrestling card. And actually, I started to throw it to Dan, but let me throw it to Matt first, because Matt, you got into town before we did. And so, just real quick, you got us some tickets, you got us some seats, you found some normal people inside, some weird people outside. Talk to us about it.
Did I get into town early? I was there before the doors opened, ended up, and like you said, I found some people that people would go, hey, look at those wrestling fans. And then I saw some normal people, which was great. It's a different type of crowd, and this indie show was no different than going to a WWE show at any time in history or whatever. I mean, it brings all types of people together. You mm-hmm. kind of gravitate towards people you look around and think that are more like you, and then you also find out they got quirks, and then you go, you know what, I bet they think I have quirks too about me. So we're at this wrestling show, there's got to be something a little bit different about the way we're wired. But just very, very good. They were great about the setup, getting everybody in the doors, you know, making sure everybody's having a good time. I mean, even after the show with, you know, the wrestlers on the card coming out and kind of, you know, mingling, talking, you know, I had, you know, when people found out this was my first show, hey, oh man, how do you like it? You know, you couldn't believe this is your first show, but you know, hope you. They really made sure that you kind of felt like you got your money's worth. You know, whether it was during the show or afterwards. You know, just by, you know, asking what you thought about it, because you know they could pick up on things to improve in the future from, you know, fresh eyes that they thought.
Yep, I think that's a testament to everybody's just politeness, professionalism, gratitude, respect for the people who came to see him, and the respect for the weekend overall. And I think that counts from the legends, Danny Hodge, down to Colt Cabana that we talked to at the beginning of the show, all the way down the card.
Yeah, that was one thing I was going to add, Eric. I mean, the nice thing that sets us apart from most indie shows, I mean, the guys are always selling merch and doing things, but most of the legends are just there not trying to make any money. If they are, it's for the Hall of Fame. But they're there for the fans to come up Friday night or Saturday at the meet and greet. And honestly, if you just wanted to meet, you know, Larry Hennig or Danny Hodge or Jim Ross or some of these people, Baron Morawski, Bob Roop. I mean, I hate to start, you start thinking you're going to leave people out. Mad Dog Vachon. You know, those guys are all there Friday night and really accessible. And in some ways, if your only goal was to meet and visit with some of those guys, which we did a fair amount of it, and so some of my recollection of the show is not 100% perfect, you know, that's a great opportunity to do it. And they're very gracious and willing to talk to fans. And it's again, that kind of adds to the atmosphere of the show. And you know, that's a nice thing. And then we'll talk about some things I think that happened on the actual show, so I'll stop there. But that kind of makes it extra special.
And one of my personal goals was to get a chuckle out of Colt Cabana in some way, shape, or form. So we got him to take a picture of the four of us, you the three of us and him together, the four of us, Mount Rushmoreing. So make sure to go to twitter.com/stuntgranny and look for the picture of us, Mount Rushmoreing, hashtag make it trend.
I'll jump in too real quick, because I thought I had a great line, and he either no-sold it or didn't know who Bob Geigel was, and I was so I was like, man, that was one of my better lines. Apparently he paid quite a fee for the NWA belt, and so we wanted a picture with the belt, and we donated $5, which was fine. I mean, we'd already bought T-shirts, but you know, the guy's hustling, and I've got no problem with that. But I said, I guess Bob Geigel needs a kickback from that or something, and nothing. And I don't say a lot of funny lines, and I thought, damn, that was pretty funny, man. I don't know. Disappointed. But oh, well.
Yeah. I mean, hell, Matt, he made you losing crap, so Dan's really striking
it. It was a rough weekend for me, except for my jackpot at the casino. And all the good times, seeing all the legends and stuff. Yeah,
I'm glad women and our significant others don't listen to this audio. So,
right.
Yeah, I guess we can let it hang all out there, right?
The cat's out of the bag, Eric.
It is. Yeah, damn it all. Whoops. Oh well, that's
all
right.
My fault, Carly. If you're listening to this, it's all I forced it to go. And
it's my fault we went once. It's Dan's fault we went twice.
Oh, my. Now, that was – I was going to try and keep on the down low, but, yeah, there you go.
If she's listening to this, we got more problems than just going to the casino. real quick, trying to run down the card as I'm not gonna. I'll be perfectly honest with you. We had a great time at the card. The wrestling was good. We had, you know, it was a good time had by all every time. We had friends there, so we were chatting, we were standing, we were milling around. We were drinking a lot of beers before, during, and after. So, like Dan said earlier, if something slips our mind, we apologize. But to do the best we can just to run down things, the show actually opened with Colt Cabana. He beat Marshall Scott, a guy who's been around for a while. I really enjoyed Marshall Scott. He's kind of got this deadpan heel delivery that I really like. Let's see, other matches on the card including James Jeffries and I believe it was the Big Picture, if
yes,
I remember correctly, winning the IPW Tag Team belts from Justin Decent and Ugly, who just every year just get better. I think those guys are great guys, too, but they just get better every year. Let's see. We had the Lou Fez
Cup. I don't want to take too much time, but I did like that match. And, you know, I mentioned one of my favorite lines is sex appeal from Prime Wrestling. They say they're straight from the gym for their hometown. But I also like this thing of coming out to party in the USA as bad guys.
That's fantastic.
That got my antenna up, and they were playing it up for everything it was worth. And that was a good match. I like that one, yeah.
Yep. Lucez Cup Battle Royal. This is one of those times where my memory escapes me, very butt heavy in my bloodstream and in my brain. I know Babyface won. Anybody want to recall or ring a bell here for me? Have to throw everybody under the bus.
Yeah, I don't remember, but it was more of a trophy than a cup, and it was a battle royal to get guys on the card. I mean, I didn't really pay much attention, sorry.
Yeah, I don't remember either. I remember it came down to three guys, and then there was, like, the turn, so I was like, wait, there were heels at the end, because one guy got bumped, but then it was like, no, it was a baby face. Yes, and it was not a cup, and I was not happy about that. Announced it as the trophy if it's not a cup. I thought James Jeffries, who was our shadow all weekend, it seemed like, wherever we were, he was there. So I don't know if he was stalking us or we were stalking him, but he did not repeat. So
that's right. Darn it.
And it was a little clunky at the end. He kind of forced himself over the top rope to skin the cat back in. So that was bad.
Yeah.
I know, well, we shouldn't criticize, but it was fine. I mean, it was. Yeah.
There you go. Let's see. Other matches. Dan, you had mentioned Tony Sly. You're a big Tony Sly fan. Now you've seen him a couple years in a row.
Yeah, I mean, the guy really, he's a kind of deceptively big guy. He was really good on the mic, I thought. He wears this kind of Halloween-covered stuff and talking about how I think he was kind of ripping on T.S. Aggressor a little bit, who was in the main event, how he was over the hill, even though he was wrestling somebody else, and he won clean, and I thought he should have. I mean, he just kind of stood out as a extra talented guy on that card, and both the way he wrestled and how he handled himself, like on the mic. So, you know, who knows what his future is, but he was. Yeah, I mentioned that to you that he certainly impressed me. Of course, we always like Team Canada and. You know, those are good guys, and they got involved in the Perry Saturn. Bill Apter named Perry Saturn a special dream partner who wasn't really a dream partner, maybe. I mean, he was a little green, but you know, it was kind of a neat little storyline, and I always enjoy watching those guys.
Main event, T.S. Aggressor beats his student, Nikki Free, for the IPW Championship. I think that pretty much runs down the card. Matt, anybody else? Anybody sticking out to you? Anybody you enjoyed and maybe look forward to seeing here in the future? Or just you had fun watching? I mean, T.S. Aggressor.
There was guys that I thought were pretty good, but I can't remember who's who. I know there was the one guy when he said, I feel bad because we sat and drank beer with him at the bar afterwards. He had like...
Our buddy,
big sideburns.
Marshall.
He had big sideburns and like a ponytail. I like that guy.
That's Justin Decent. He's a good
Justin
guy.
Justin
Decent, really nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
We talked with him and us both.
Yeah, him and Maddie from Team Canada, who I'm happy didn't beat me up when I spilled beer on him. So if he's listening, sorry about that. And I like the James Jeffries guy with the Bret Hart and mixed with Dusty Rhodes polka dots. So that was cool. There was guys that I was impressed by. It's when you only see him once and you know it's the first time you see him. I couldn't I could like kind of describe him, but I can't tell you names off the top of my head mostly, unless like I said, a few guys that we talked to quite a bit, you know, afterwards or for whatever reason stick in my mind. But plan on seeing him again next year. So good show.
You enjoyed yourself overall.
I did.
All right.
And if I could just add a couple things, Eric, before we put the wrestling to bed. I did, and Matt and I both had a pretty good visit with this. I think QT Marshall's is his ring name, and really impressed with that guy, just kind of in his maturity in terms of talking wrestling. He was a really entertaining guy to talk with, and he wrestled kind of an athletic African-American guy, Silva. I forget what his first name was. I was like, is this the guy from TNA that we've never seen again? Since he flamed out on, he supposedly won his contract on that tough, whatever the hell it's called, you know, tough enough ripoff.
Of a gut check, yeah.
Gut check, but it was, and it was a different guy, but that guy was really athletic, but I was impressed with this QT Marshall, the way he kind of wrestled the match, and it was pretty basic, but it was good, and he kind of just talked a little bit about, you know, his philosophies on some different things in wrestling and stuff, and it was a guy I was really impressed with. And to me, the highlight of the entire show, I mean, the finish of the main event was Baron putting the claw on this Nikki Free, which was cool. But more than that, they had all the legends surrounding the ring. And Danny Hodge looked like he damn near killed this guy with his punch. And, I mean, that was the biggest pop I had all night. I was kind of talking to your buddy Marshall there, but I was watching the match. Also, I was like, it was like, boom, and I just jumped. Everybody jumped and was like, holy damn, that was, and I don't know if he pulled that punch or not, but I don't know that he did. That's like you. I hope you got paid extra if you were willing to take a punch from Danny Hodge, because that guy could kick my ass in about 2 seconds, and I got him by about, I'm not even going to admit how many pounds, and it's he's an impressive guy, and that was really cool when he lit that guy up.
Yeah. Real quick, because I feel bad, Sparrow. Sparrow was the winner of the Luthez Cup, so many props to Sparrow. Hopefully, he defends it successfully next year.
We're complete now.
Yeah, exactly. I feel better about that. Let's see. You know what? I'm going to let another cat out of the bag. Matt, you had a beer yesterday, or 2 days ago, Friday. You had a beer, first time in a while.
Yeah, it was my first beer in like a year. I can't remember when my buddy got married. I was in the wedding like last July, so it was pretty much a year for my first drop of alcohol, so you guys filled me up pretty well. I don't think I made too much of an ass of myself, except when I spilled the one on the table. They tasted pretty good, and then I probably won't have another beer until another wedding or I run into you guys again. So congratulations for that, for you know, trying to keep me young and all that stuff, so I can pretend I can still put them down.
Well, trust me, next year it's going to get worse.
We
went to
get a 6-pack next time instead of 12, so you guys don't have to haul them around.
Oh shit! Yeah. Some bum in Jewel, Iowa, hit the jackpot for bottled beer. We, after the show was at the Five Sullivan Brothers Convention Center in downtown Des Moines, and everybody stays pretty much across
Waterloo.
The street at either the, or what did I say?
Des Moines,
Iowa. Oh, that's where I am right now. Thank you. No, at the Five Sullivan Brothers in Waterloo, and across the street is the Ramada Inn and the Quality Inn, and Ramada Inn's got a great bar. Food, drinks, libations, good times. Matt, we got you drinking some beers. Your first indie show, and now here we are hanging out in the hotel bar with a bunch of wrestlers, old, new, et cetera. Good times, great memories?
Oh definitely, yeah. So we get to talk to that QT Marshall guy QT. I don't want to messing me up, coming finding me in Wisconsin here. But, yeah, it was really cool that I got to hang out with the guys and just, you know, kind of pick their brains, and that, you know, some of the guys had done more things than others, and it was just neat to hear, you know, different perspectives on things, and, you know, ask them questions without being, you know, making sure you're not, like, trying to offend anybody, or, you know, because you're just curious about it, and that was really cool. Cool to see some of the older legends interacting with other people. I didn't sit around it, and I don't think any of us did, but seeing Road Warrior Animal, you know, with a dozen fans sitting around the table, you know, shooting the breeze and yep. telling stories was cool. Standing at the bar and seeing JBL finally show up and then sneak in with the ambush on Jerry Briscoe, Baird hugging him out of the chair, you know, funny, and then getting 12 beers pushed in front of him that they'd been saving him all night. So, you know, he had to catch up. I don't know what happened there. And God, what was the guy's name? And then seeing Don Curtis's daughter wander around the bar was an event.
Don Curtis's, his wife Dottie, his daughter, and her son, three generations of Curtis's being represented at the bar. And I overheard a story about Dottie and Charlie says, so when Charlie came over to the bar and was talking to Dottie, I just said real quick, you know, we're trying to close down the bar here, but I heard one time you closed down Japan. Oh, you're silly. And it's like, yeah, God, I'm such a dork. Try to get that shit in every year. We went up to Colton. My first thing out of my mouth was, oh, we were going to try to make a sign that says, creative has nothing for us either. And that was my chuckle. So, whatever. Dan, now this is your second year hanging out with some of the old timers. And like Matt said, Animal, I shouldn't call Animal an old-timer shit, holding court at the table, telling stories.
He's an orange-timer.
That's what he is, yeah.
You were definitely holding court out there. You know, last year I spent more time at the bar talking with some of the legends, and this year it just happened that I spent more time, you know, talking to some of the guys that had wrestled on the Impact Pro show, and both experiences are really enjoyable. I mean, like I said, it's, you just kind of let things come to you, you know, and you want to be invited to speak before you say much, because you know they're talking shop about things you don't know as much about as they do. I certainly have no problem admitting that, but, you know, we're obviously passionate fans. We have opinions, and when people ask for them, I'm happy to speak up, and, yeah, like I said, I mean, and you know, Troy's out there mainly making sure his crew's taken care of with beer and stuff. But I mean, they don't do much half-assed there. I mean, it's a really cool environment. And you know, Bill Apter was running around there, and I didn't really get a chance to visit with him at all. But he seemed to be kind of the center of some people's attention, and a nice guy. And it's just kind of cool to see people having a good time, especially JBL and Briscoe. And again, it's kind of one of those things you just sit back and let them have their space, but it's still kind of cool to watch. So yeah, it's great.
Yeah, that's beer and fire water in action. Overall, indie shows, good times, tip, have a lot of fun. Overall, going to the hotel bar with the wrestlers, good times, do it. Tip, you know, be respectful, but otherwise you're going to, these guys, our mantra all weekend was these guys come to these knowing that the fans want to talk to them, want to interact. It's a small crowd in intimate settings. And they're, you know, I'm sure JBL and Jerry Briscoe probably haven't seen each other in a while since JBL's not around, and they need to get their time to talk too. But, you know, get your shit in, as they would say, but be respectful about it. You know, they're here to be talked to. They're here to, you know, JR, I think you had mentioned this, and we can talk about it in depth now or later if you want, Dan. But JR kind of loosened up a little bit compared to last year. You know, I called him surly last year, but it seemed like he was a lot more amenable this year, a lot more talkative, I think, because he realized, you know, I'm here for these people. So
yeah, I mean, a lot of times, especially at the Hall of Fame induction, I might just stand there and listen to him talk with Jerry Briscoe or Danny Hodge or whoever he might be visiting with, and just kind of observe. And then he was doing some interviews and stuff also. And, Yeah, I mean, it's you know, he, you know, I was really pleased just in general. I think physically he looks a lot better this year. And, you know, I don't know, you know, I'm not trying to be nosy or anything, but it just, you know, he looked really good. And, you know, we're fans of him, obviously, so that's great to see. And he certainly, you know, he was willing to kind of at least have a little bit more back and forth with some of the fans. And as long as people asked, you know, legitimate questions, he's receptive to that. And again, for the most part, I mean, listening to him and Jerry Briscoe talk is so entertaining. You kind of just try to hang back and let it happen. So, yeah, that was cool. All those guys were certainly really approachable. But, yeah, JR was more so this year than last year, I would definitely say.
Yeah, that's something that I've done in years past, too. I've seen Gene LaBelle and Harley Race deep in conversation, and I just, you know, you stand back about 20 feet and you just listen because it's great to hear. Shitty segue, because now I can't remember what you were speaking of. It made me think of it. Questions, asking questions of the wrestlers. 1 o'clock in the afternoon, Saturday, a Q&A session. And, Matt, I actually feel bad because I think I've led all of us into kind of burying the town of Waterloo. So I don't mean to do that. But, Matt, you got a chance to get into the Q&A session. And there came a point, I think, where you kind of decided, yeah, it might be time to get some good questions in here. Why don't you kick off, talk about the Q&A session on Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, the Q&A session, it had like, I don't know, like 8 guys on the panel. They started off, they talked with, it was kind of, the weekend for, and I don't exactly know why, but it was kind of everything was kind of based around Danny Hodge, which, you know, he's great and everything. And I didn't know if, because it seemed like he'd been there before. It was kind of odd, like, if this is his first time there, you know, they made a big deal. But since he's been there different times, I mean, it was really cool, but it was kind of like the Q&A was like a half-hour tribute to Danny Hodge, telling Danny Hodge stories, which was really awesome because everybody had a story. I mean, even, Road Warrior Animal was the one guy who didn't really have much to say about him, you know, because he'd just never been around him. But it was like everybody had a story about Danny Hodge. Bill Apter hosted the thing. And everybody went around and said something,
Bill Apter did a really good job at that, by the way. I just want to throw that in. I thought he really, because we've seen other hosts that weren't, like Eric seen it more 2 years ago, and
yeah.
Bill Apter, I thought, did a really good job. Sorry.
Yeah, Bill Apter said hosted, asked different questions, would, you know, kind of stop and ask follow-ups, which was good. And then Danny Hodge spoke, and then he opened it up for other people to speak, or ask questions from the audience. And I don't know, there's probably, 60, 80 people there, you know, for whatever the chairs were. I mean, it's a very small setting, maybe even less than that. I guess I didn't know how many people were in the back. But, of course, we picked on Waterloo before about, you know, the smell, and I fed her in my barn this morning. But I don't know if it was the locals or whatever you want to call them, but if you people listening would go, oh, prototypical wrestling fans, and it was Road Warrior Animal, who was a better manager, Paul Ellering or Sonny? And I'm just like, I'm looking and I'm like, all right, this can't happen the whole time. And I think without even looking at each other, we all went, all right, we got to ask something, we got to stop this, it's our duty to make make sure that this actually gets better or whatever, you know. And I'm sure other people thought the same thing because there were other good questions. But, you know, when you have those guys there, and a lot of us, since we're such passionate fans, we've heard a lot of the stories. Like, I don't know, I'd say at least 50% of the stuff I'd already heard before, but it's great when you hear it in person. Asking them relevant questions that are more in-depth than, you know, what was your favorite match? Or how was that guy was good. So we all asked a question. There was other questions asked. So most of the questions were good. And even the bad ones turned good when the guy asked if he's a fan, how could he get his ID on the air? And JR had snuck off to the bathroom or something.
Yeah,
and
JR
they decided,
the
hey.
JR walked away. Yeah, so then
yeah, so
at
you,
which point.
But you need to contact JR.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the guy, okay, so Mr. Who's a better manager, Paul Ellering or Sonny Stands Up? And if he listens to this, I apologize, but I'd be shocked
to listen
to it too. And, yeah, and he directed the question at Briscoe, and Briscoe had to, you mean if you got an idea, what do you do with it? You can submit it to, you can submit, WWE's got a creative team, about 20 people, you can submit your idea. And as he's answering this, and at some point earlier, this guy had asked the question, same guy, and JR just rolled his eyes. He said, at some point, you see the gears turning animals like, actually, I got an idea. JR would be a great guy to give an idea to. JBL, yeah, I can give you his phone number and his email address. Come see me after the Q&A. Just throwing JR under the bus. It was brilliant watching the end. Of course, the crowd just erupts into applause and laughter. And this kid probably thinks his day is made because his brilliant ideas for how to bring Paul Roma back or something. They're going to finally be heard.
And then JR sneaks, walks back in oblivious, and then there's an even bigger roar that he's the butt of the joke that he doesn't know anything about.
Yeah.
And before I got to mention this in case we miss it. Everybody's pretty. I mean, they're not dressed up yet or anything, but everybody's wearing either khaki shorts and a decent shirt or whatever. And I don't know what happened at the bar after we left or whatever, but JBL is wearing his Briscoe Brothers T-shirt,
right?
And yep. And has a and comes in with a plastic bag with like a 6-pack of beers. Except
yep.
We only saw him drink one, so I don't know. But yeah, sits down in the panel. He said he's got his Eric said his mom jeans. He's wearing some tight Levi's up. Pull them up
oh
and
my
put
God.
Pull
that
them up
great.
Tight, JBL.
Yeah.
So
and his green polo shirt and his mom butt jeans. That was fantastic.
So yeah, JBL, the JBL we all know. When you lined up all those guys in the panel, and if you just brought somebody in and said, who shouldn't be on this panel? And you see what JBL's wearing. And it, not just because it was the Briscoe Brothers shirt, but if you'd have brought him in from the night before, you'd be like, I think this guy's a fan over here, even though he's like 6'7". But,
here's a guy who got stuck in the Chicago airport thanks to American Airlines. I've got 5 million frequent flyer miles. I am a wrestling god! And he's been tweeting about it for the past basically 48 hours that he got fucking bumped by American Airlines, even though I am a platinum card-carrying member. I guess I don't blame him for wearing mom pants and T-shirts to shit. Dan, you kind of did the same thing, It's like, let's get some good questions going. Hopefully they show up on the DVD. Overall thoughts on the Q&A session?
Yeah, I mentioned I thought Bill Apter did a real nice job. And I kind of asked a question about, the role of journalism in wrestling was my question. And I guess this is as good a time to say this as anything. I went in there kind of agreeing, and I still agree with in general. Bruce Mitchell wrote a really good article about, Bill Apter may belong in the Hall of Fame. I'm not going to say that he doesn't. But to define what he does as journalism, I think can be considered, and I hope he doesn't take this the wrong way if he hears this, but I think it could be a bit insulting to people like Scott Teal and Dave Meltzer and people that have always covered wrestling more on the square, I guess.
Right.
And, that was my personal feeling that it's fine to honor him. He made major contributions to the business, but to call, my sister is a journalism major at University of Missouri. I know you have journalism training and your degree, and
right.
That's what he does. I consider to be more PR, and so I kind of went in there not negative about Bill Apter, but kind of like, well, I don't know about this, but he did a really nice job with the emceeing. He did a nice job at the event, and I appreciate the way he answered my question. I appreciate the way Jim Ross answered my question as well. And, I had something else I really wanted to say that now it's starting to escape me. But, it kind of what Matt said, I went in there, you're sitting there and you're like, I've got a question in mind, but I'm kind of nervous about it. And I'm not sure if it's appropriate to ask this. And then the first guy steps up and sets the bar at -8 degrees below ground level to clear. And you're like, okay, we got to put a stop to this. Exactly. I'm not going to sit here and let people ask kind of challenge type questions to try and be polite about it. I mean, this is too great of a group of minds and personalities to kind of just have not the most impressive questions. So
the type of people who are asking those types of questions are the same type of people who confused me for CM Punk at the Friday Night Impact Wrestling show.
Might have been the same guy.
It was a different guy.
I was kind of
different.
Stalking you there for a while.
Anyway, let's not get into that. I'll say too, you know, just to transition to the next thing, I brought stuff to autograph. Normally the first few years I went to the Wrestling Hall of Fame, I didn't do that. I just had as much fun as I could, immersing myself in the whole thing, listening when I could, talking when I could. Not really an autograph type of person, but when I found out Bill Apter was going to be there, I thought, you know, I've got like 6 years of this guy's magazine in my dad's house. Ran up there, grabbed a magazine from my dad's. It was the first one I bought off the newsstand. Started walking up to Bill Apter, and he sees it, and, oh, wow, look at that sort of thing. Is my column still in there? Flips to the page. What's your name? Finds it for me. I thank you so much for supporting my magazine. You supported what I do and all this stuff, and just could not have been a nicer guy. So
he couldn't have been a nicer guy. That's exactly right.
Yep.
That's exactly right.
We saw the autograph line, and Dan, you didn't have anything. Matt, I can't remember if you had planned to bring stuff and didn't, or if you left it in the car or didn't have anything at all, but we saw the autograph line. It was like, it was clear that people were purposely skipping the Q&A just to wait in line on the other side of the building for the autograph session. We saw the line, and we hit the road for the casino anyway. Matt, any regrets on that? Any thoughts on that? Anything you wish you would have gotten autographed? Maybe have Animal draw a spider on your forehead or something?
No, I'm not a big autograph guy. I mean, I guess I get it sometimes. Dan was, Dan's thing, you know, all weekend to me was like, you know, man, if you want to get something, you know, you have to talk to these guys. I'm like, totally. And, you know, if you want to get something signed, and I said I'm not a big autograph guy, but like I told, you know, Dan and probably you, it's like I'd much rather just, like, be able to say hi to him and get a picture, you know. It's like I don't need it signed, whatever, because, I mean, realistically, like, you know, one of those autograph, well, you know, the pitcher, I obviously met him. Does it matter if I got an autograph with him, you know, because it's like, are you going to sell it or, you know, what? Unless you actually have something really cool, you know, to get autographed, I'm like, hey, you know, take it or leave it. So, yeah, I wasn't disappointed at the autograph. I mean, it would have been nice to go through and shake hands. I did miss a couple people that I was hoping to meet, you know, for whatever reason. They were busy talking to other people or, you know, you say you don't want to butt, you don't want to be too pushy, but you know, so you stand back and then you, oh, dang, they left. Or, you know, they, as soon as they got done talking to those guys, they, you know, skipped. Or, you know, it's like sometimes they just wanted to go do their own thing too. So, you know, they'd be like, you know, not blow you off, but just like, you know, kind of act like they're busier to get through. And that was cool. But I said, I really like that, you know, just getting to talk to different people at the wrestling show. And then, you know, later on at the banquet. But, yeah, I wasn't disappointed. And I didn't bring anything to autograph. And I couldn't think of anything I really had besides that if I went and dug through my old WWF magazines, I could have found some stuff, but I didn't really have anything of the guys there, like actual like merchandise or whatever, you know, because our buddy decided to do some cake tasting instead of show up, so I didn't bring any of his stuff.
Oh, God.
So,
unbelievable. I could make
Eric,
fun of them all day, but I'm doing the same thing right now. I'm fucking cake tasting. I'm watching Flower Girls try on dresses. So I, you know what, Kurt Angle, if you'll never listen to this, but there's going to be recorded, documented proof that I will make fun of you until I'm fucking blue in the face, but I'm doing the same shit you are. I'm pretty sure I took an aspirin at some point this weekend, too. So you and I are in the same boat, buddy. I feel your pain.
Eric, before we drop the getting stuff signed, we kind of dropped the ball, and I'm going to try and stay up for you to bring back that picture of Danny Hodge. That's something I'd like to see you get signed for next year. And, you know, just because they're all legends, but that guy's, that's, you know, we've gotten pictures with him and visited with him and stuff, but I think for whatever reason, I just, you know, I guess it's because he's an elder. I think it'd be cool if you got that signed, and I meant to keep after you on it, and we just kind of forgot. So,
no, that's a good idea. No, and we talked about, Matt brought up how the first part of the Q&A section was actually a tribute to Danny Hodge. You hear all these stories, but unless you're there and you're listening in person to these people tell these stories about Danny Hodge, and really to meet him in person too. You know, there's all these, everyone says, yeah, don't shake his hand, but really, like, every time I see him, and I literally, like, I probably saw him, walked up to him four times this weekend. So I don't mean every weekend. I mean, like, every time I'm in his presence, I stick my hand out and hello and congratulations, welcome, sir, and blah, 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 and everything. And he just is the nicest, gentlest guy. You know, don't be scared of all the stories. He's a sweetheart. He's a very grandfatherly type. He says Missouri, just like Dan does. He kind of whistles when he talks. And I just love that guy. He just makes the weekend for me.
Jim Ross and all those guys had good stories, but Jim Ross and JBL had really good Danny Hodge stories, I'd have to say.
Yep, absolutely. We went to the casino after this, right, Matt?
Yeah, we did. And just a shout-out for all the Waterloo people that are listening. Doughy Joey's was excellent pizza there. I don't care if you had mozzarella on the bottom of your glass. My water was fine. Okay.
Damn it.
And not your mozzarella, somebody else's.
but great
pizza there. Yes, and then we went to the casino, which was, I think it was my doing because I was like, hey, there's a casino there. And I'm like, Dan, do you like the casino? And Dan's like, do I like the casino? Are you kidding me? I couldn't keep up with Dan in beers or money pulled out of my wallet to spend. I'm just a poor old farmer, and he's a high-rolling college professor, you know. So it was when worlds collide, which was also cool. And I'll just say that was really cool that, you know, three I don't know, kind of random guys or whatever that, you know, completely different backgrounds, but just that this event kind of brought us together. And in case I don't get to say it later or forget about it, I just want to thank you guys for kind of taking me in late on this one, because I kind of thought about going, and I, you know, kind of, Dusty, if you're listening, Dusty bitched out on me because they didn't induct Sid. They're kind of blackballing Sid, so Dusty's not going to show up till they put Sid in, but you guys brought me in.
Softball anyway.
Yeah, you guys gave me a floor to sleep on, you know, beers to drink, and bad luck at the casino, so I can't thank you enough for that.
Well, hey, I will say this. You know, you talk about a last-minute thing. If everybody out there knew the last-minute shit I had to deal with, makes you look like a fucking walk through a elementary school. But I will say this. Matt, thank you for playing craps and introducing me to the piss-poor attitudes of the people at the Isle of Capri in Waterloo, including two old men who I fondly refer to as Bill Parcells and Vince Lombardi, yelling at me to get away from them as they play craps. But, yeah, there you go. Middle of the audio thank yous.
No, that's, yeah, it was a lot of fun. Absolutely, it was great. It's always great to, I mean, Eric and I had a great time last year, and we certainly hope you can keep going, Matt. It was a great time. It was great.
We got to the reception at the Five Sullivan Brothers Convention Center at about 5:30, 5:45. Started at 5, the prelude to the banquet at 6, and the induction ceremony at 7. I mean, just real quick, the reception, people just kind of trickle in as they do. Food's always good food catered, thanks to the museum, so that's cool. Of course, you buy your ticket to get in, so, you know, you got your meal taken care of there. And you could see people playing with a screen and a projector at one point, and for whatever reason, for me, it didn't click right away. I don't know about you guys, but when we got into the meat of the induction ceremony, oh boy, that's when it made sense that this is why they have a projector out here. Matt, let's see. I got to go get my program, but so here we are at our black tie affair at the Five Sullivan Brothers Convention Center.
Yeah, We're there. It's a nice setting. Most people are dressed up. There was some, I don't remember what you called him, the chemical romance reject was there. Decided to dress up in his skinny jeans and his even skinnier T-shirt. You know, looked like he needed his ass kicked. But he looked nothing compared to Mr. Off the Ropes number one and Mr. Off the Ropes number two. Hey, guys, if you're listening, if you're going to do this, buy some polos instead of your crappy-ass T-shirts with your guts hanging out. walking around while everybody else is wearing, if not, a suit, at least they're wearing a, dress shirt and dress pants, or looking respectable amongst these legends who are receiving awards. Come on, guys, class it up some. You're supposedly a big deal. I just wanted to get that out there. Oh, and the other thing, they everybody got a sticker with your name on it, which was funny because even some of the guys who didn't need stickers had them, So when we get in there, one of the first
Dan
people.
Severn. Yeah, sorry. I didn't recognize you by your huge mustache.
Yeah, I thought Tom Selleck was here.
Yeah.
But we get in there, and one of the first people we see is the Baron and Mrs. Claw. And and we notice his name tag says, not George Clooney. And Eric, you can take it from there with your comment.
Oh, God, I don't know. I just saw him. He's a funny guy to try to trade, comments with. So I look at his name. He looks at me. I look at his name tag, and I point at mine, and I say, well, I beg to differ. And he says, are you George Clooney? So there you go. The quick-witted Baron. Got to love that guy.
Baron is always on. Yeah.
Yeah. Should we just run through real quick the award winners, presenters, and just I'll run real quick through who did what so we can really just talk about things. Kyle Klingman, who's the executive director, I believe is his title, at the museum in Waterloo, introduced Arda O'Call. He, you might know him as co-host of, I think it's called, was it Right After Wrestling or Radio After Wrestling, whatever the fuck it is.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Aftermath with Jimmy Cordero.
Jimmy Cordero. Yep, exactly. And then he also works on The Score television network up in Canada, getting pretty well-known amongst wrestling circles for his interviews and just his general knowledge of the sport. Introduced as Master of Ceremonies, and just to run through everybody, the Jim Melby Award, as Dan said.
Yeah, and I would say, if I can just jump in, outside of him thinking that Danny Hodge and Jerry Briscoe were from different states, I thought he did a good job as an MC overall. He's like, we may have a battle of the states between Jerry Briscoe and Danny Hodge, and unless he meant Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, he was a little Oklahoma talk.
What I thought he was getting at was, and maybe I misunderstood it, I thought he said that, like, Briscoe kind of nodded and Danny Hodge was going to do the dirty work and take care of business. But I might have misunderstood that too. Yeah, I wasn't sure where he was going with that.
Okay, but no, he did a nice job overall. So
whatever Arda did was far better than, what is it like to win a match? What is it like to lose a match? Arda,
keep that name once.
Yeah,
keep that name once. Maybe people will figure out who it was.
Yeah. Well, hopefully I did a good enough impression of him. Well, anyway, the Jim Melby Award, like we talked about, awarded to a wrestling journalist, given to Bill After, presented by Shelley Bonin, who, if I remember correctly, is the daughter of somebody of Jim Melby.
Melby.
There you go. Married names always confuse me. The George Tragos Award, given to Dan Severn. George Tragos Award is created for somebody with a professional wrestling affiliation of some sort, but a mixed martial artist who has that kind of crossover appeal. The Frank Gotch Award for good deeds done outside the ring and bringing a positive light to pro wrestling, given by Larry Hennig to Joe Laurinaitis, Road Warrior Animal. They shared a nice little moment there that was good.
Just to jump in, are we going to go over all these at the end, Eric?
I was just going to go through these real quick, and then we can get into the kind of meat of things.
Have at it, sorry.
Hall of Fame inductees Don Curtis, accepting for him with Dottie, his wife. We talked about seeing her at the bar, so that was cool. Presented by Jerry Briscoe. Plenty to talk about with Kurt Angle's induction, and then saving the best for last.
Although I don't think Curtis was inducted by, because Briscoe did Angle, so Curtis was somebody else, I think.
Okay. I'm just going by the program and the beers that were in my head. Arda actually made a point to say that sometimes things need to get moved around a little bit. So your main event of the evening, the Lou Fez Award, given to JBL, John Bradshaw Layfield, presented by Charlie Fez. Really nice speech from him, really nice closing remarks from Charlie Fez, and a lot of things that we could probably point out, but let's if we can narrow it down to like the two or three main things, I'll throw a couple out there. Dan Severn, giving Bill Apter his championship office wrestling cardboard belt back. I also want to throw out there Larry Hennig getting a little emotional, giving his award to Joe Laurinaitis, referring to Joe as one of Kurt's good friends. That was nice. And then, Dan, you had mentioned, too, last night, you even said it to JBL on the way out the door, that he gave a real classy speech.
Yeah, and you know, he's talking about, and he should. He should be proud of what he's doing. He's making the world a better place, whether it be through his foundation on this 7 Summit thing where they're raising money, as I gathered, for people in Bermuda, I think, that are kind of disadvantaged. And all of it, he's very proud of what he's done with Tribute to the Troops. He absolutely should be. And, you know, he brings it up in such a way that, you know, he's proud that he was a wrestler and that by being a wrestler, he was able to make life better for some of these, you know, maybe some of these troops that are having a rough go or kids with cancer or something. And it was real. I mean, you know, I had the old move forward so I could kind of on the edge of my seat hear every word of it. So it was really a first-class speech, and it represents – what a lot of these guys do in a really nice fashion. It was really, you know, it makes you proud to be associated with the event, and then that's why we go. I mean, Kyle does a first-class job with this, and, you know, between Charlie Thez and Mr. Murdoch and Jerry Briscoe, I think those are some of the people, and maybe Jim Ross, that really kind of help get this thing going. Everything is just really well done, and it makes you proud to be associated with it. And it was a really neat thing. And I was going to echo the sentiments about you know, Larry Henning's intro to Road Warrior Animal was really neat. And you know, I think people all got a little choked up with that. And Bill Apter gave a neat acceptance speech. I liked his Dusty Rhodes impression. And you know, I get a little nostalgic. You guys may be too young, but when he says, "We'll see you at the matches," that's off of the old Crockett TV, or any time he was on AWA TV or any sort of TV, that was always his sign-off phrase. That was kind of cool. So, and then I guess the other thing would be the whole Kurt Angle deal, which we probably want to spend a couple minutes on and then wrap this thing up. I don't know.
Matt, you've been doing a good job on the Kurt Angle beat here for the last little while here. Why don't you kick off the conversation about the Kurt Angle fiasco?
Oh, okay. Well, the whole Kurt Angle thing was said the projector wasn't working. They couldn't get it to work. Like, we're like, Kurt Angle's not here. Okay. We're like, who's going to, you know, oh, Briscoe's going to talk for him. Well, it comes to that time, and they bring the projector down, comes out of the ceiling, and they don't have it queued up, I think it was because once it started and actually popped up on the screen, it was like 4 minutes in, and they didn't have volume. And it's Kurt Angle sitting in his, I don't know, his Bret Hart room, I guess, because he's in the background. There's a framed promo picture of him, like autographed or something, you know. So he's sitting behind in front of his own picture, you know, promo picture. And I'm like, come on, man, like that. And we also see, like, he has his head down almost the whole time, it seemed like, while he was talking, because he had to read this word for word, because, I don't know, his manager probably emailed it to him to read. It's just really embarrassing. It seemed like that. I guess I'm glad he made the effort to send it in. I don't know. He probably got guilt-tripped because it seemed like Jerry Briscoe gave him an earful, as you know, as long as he could handle it. Kurt Angle's probably still hearing what he said to him. So since this doesn't work, I mean, everybody's kind of laughing and groaning and, you know, almost, we said kind of laughing because, you know, kind of it's like, oh, serves him right that this doesn't work. And, I don't remember who made it, if it was Briscoe or Arta who, you know, Kurt Angle's video even no showed the event. And then it turned into, Jerry Briscoe, getting up on there, and he's got the plaque in hand that these guys actually get their plaque. It's not like they, like, show them with it and then they hang it in the museum. They actually take that home with them, and then they have, like, in the museum, they have the, like, the yearly board or whatever, you know, say 2012 and all the guys. So they get to take that home with them. So Jerry Briscoe gets up there on the podium, and he proceeds to just bury Kurt Angle this Hall of Fame is set up that they don't induct people who aren't going to be there because they only, you know, induct like four, you know, five or six people, and they expect those people to be there because that's who the fans come to see, along with, you know, whatever legends can make it. But they're not, like, you know, if the Baron doesn't want to show up, hey, the Baron's not advertised because he's not getting an award. You know, or if Larry Henning can't make it, that's no big deal, you know. But these, you know, but Kurt Angle committed to this, said people, you know, I'm sure there were people there that probably that was their tipping point. Hey, Kurt Angle's going to be there this year. I'm going to spend $50 on a meal. And for us, I mean, there was, we're not single guys, but we came by ourselves, so we're spending $50. I saw people, you know, there were families there that spent $50 a pop on, you know, four or five people. I mean, that's, and if he was the reason that they didn't, that they made that decision to come, that really sucks. So Jerry Briscoe proceeds to, you know, bury him for not coming and all that. And then he says, I have $200 in my pocket from somebody, and he didn't say who, that had already said that they would buy his plaque and donate it to the museum. Oh, and he also said, you know, Kurt Angle expects me to mail this to him or whatever, and we're going to auction this off. And I'm sitting there, and I think everybody else is like, oh, there's going to be a just kidding or something or whatever, or, you know, one of the wrestlers is going to, you know, one of the JBL is going to buy it or something, you know, donate money to the museum or whatever. And I don't know, one of the guys there says $250, whatever. And Dan, if Dan's casino afternoon would have went as well as night, Dan would have had that thing. That would have been hanging in Dan's bathroom or something. So
yeah, it would have been hanging from the rearview mirror of his 2005. Yeah,
that'd have been his new license plate holder or whatever,
Just a little, because there were a couple things. I seriously thought about bidding $300, but A, the guy that bid $250 is Troy Peterson, who does more for that museum than almost anybody. I won't say anybody, but just selfless guy, great guy, puts on the Impact Pro show and was willing to step up and do that. And I'm like, you know, this isn't Storage Wars. I don't want to get into a bidding war with this guy who's doing all this to help the museum. A, I mean, it probably would have been appreciated. And then B, I see from Eric's Twitter that, you know, Kurt Angle wants his plaque back. And I'm thinking, this is going to be dramatic, I have a feeling, no matter what. I don't particularly want to get involved in that. The thought crossed my mind, and, you know, Jerry Briscoe was certainly more, I mean, he shut that auction off pretty quickly, because while we were talking about it, he's like, okay, Troy's got it for $250, and I'm perfectly happy that's the way it went down. But I was considering it. I will admit, I thought about bidding, but I thought this could, yeah, this may not end well. I may get involved in something that a mess I don't want to. Because I'm sure if Kurt Angle asked Troy for that plaque, he may say, well, if you donate $250 to the museum or whatever. But
right,
I mean, Troy was not doing that to be the center of attention. They tried to get him to go up there and get his picture with all the other award winners. He's like, absolutely not. I'm here to observe and show respect. And I don't know the guy real well. You know him better than I do, Eric, but he seems like a really impressive guy. And, yeah, so I just kept my mouth shut.
Yep, no, he is a good guy, and you're exactly right about the time and the money and the just everything that he invests in the museum. Proceeds from the Impact Pro Wrestling show, going to the museum. Stand-up guy. You know, part of me thinks he was goaded into it by the wrestlers and his family members who were there at the thing, you know, bid on the Troy. The same people who were chanting speech, speech, speech after he successfully bid on the plaque. And Matt, you can actually follow up on this. You've been keeping track on of what's happened to the plaque in the last couple of hours, right?
Yeah, right before we started recording here at like 3:30 in the afternoon, Jason Powell, I kind of corresponded with him, telling him what happened, and he ran the story. He was going to hold it for a day, but Kurt Angle decided to have a hissy fit on Twitter about it. You know how he had wedding obligations. Don't be confused, people. He did not get married yesterday. He just had wedding obligations. You know, watching his wife said eat cake and pick out flowers or whatever. So right before we went on the air, Powell said that he had found out from somebody, and I don't remember the name. The name wasn't somebody that I recognized from being there. Jerry Briscoe actually bought the trophy back from, or the plaque back from Troy for the $250, you know, to donate the money to the museum, and then he was going to make sure Kurt got it. But I'm sure even if Jerry Briscoe did that, he probably said, hey, we're going to keep this quiet for a little bit to make Kurt sweat it out, or, you know, let him get pissed about it. So maybe that was the plan all along, and Jerry Briscoe didn't want to have to pay more than $250 to get him back. You know, whatever maybe he was working on, but I'm glad that, you know, I don't care if Kurt gets a plaque or not, but that they actually ended up raising a little money off of it, and I guess they even got publicity for the museum by all this going down, you know, just because Kurt throwing the fit, and they kept it quiet enough that, you know, it went for, you know, almost, you know, say a 12-hour period where Kurt obviously didn't know that happened, so maybe he'll read about it before Jerry calls him and tells him, so good for them.
Kurt was probably asleep anyway. We hadn't had a meltdown since Bret Hart a few years ago, so we were due for another fun story coming out of the Hall of Fame inductions.
So this goes without saying, Eric, can I interrupt real quick? I'm sorry.
Go for it.
And Jerry Briscoe is probably, I won't say the nicest because there's so many nice people there. I mean, Charlie Fez is so nice. All these people are just great to talk with. But, you know, I talked with a few of them afterward, but Jerry Briscoe is at least as nice as anybody there and as appreciative of fans that come and just really welcoming and a great guy. In the Jerry Briscoe-Kurt Angle feud or argument or whatever, I think it's pretty obvious that there are 3 votes on this phone call for Jerry Briscoe and 0 for Kurt Angle.
I think you might be right. Yeah, I think it might be unanimous. So.
Okay, just wanted to confirm that.
Yeah, it's true.
Very nice. On that note, Dan, any other overall thoughts on the Hall of Fame weekend from Waterloo, Iowa?
I'll close the same way I opened, Eric. If you're listening to this and you can get up there next year, or if you're going through that area and you can just see the museum on a random day, you should do it. But if you could make the Hall of Fame, it's worth setting aside a weekend to do it. And first-class event, great people, and it's a really undiscovered hidden treasure in this sport/entertainment genre/art form that is professional wrestling. So I want to go back to Matt and just say I appreciate you guys spending the time with me. I had a great time, so that's it.
Good deal. Matt, how about yourself? Overall thoughts, final thoughts on the Hall of Fame weekend?
Oh, just an amazing experience. So the museum is a first-class facility. And I don't think I looked at it as much as I should have. You know, kind of being there the first time, it's like you almost got to be there more than once or spend more time than we had to look around. And, you know, since we had to go to the casino, we didn't do that. But I'm going to be back next year, so I'll get to look at more. I didn't check out the pinball machine as much. I heard some oh yeahs coming out of it. That was awesome. It's $50 for the banquet, and I don't know if that sounds steep to people, but I tell you what, if you go to the banquet and you go to that Q&A and you go to the wrestling show, I mean, it's worth it. And so we bunked 3 guys in the hotel room. We spent some money, but I would not take it back for one weekend out of the year. And if you only make it there once, I think you'll always remember getting to talk to the guys. That whether everybody was great. I mean, I got to BS with Danny Hodge and Larry Henning for like 5 or 10 minutes. The night of the indie show, you know, and shake hands and take pictures. It's just awesome, you know, to be around these guys. And they're just down-to-earth people and, you know, no attitude about them or that they're better than it. You know, oh, how are you? Oh, what do you do for a living? Where are you from? It's just awesome. And I guess to close it out for me, I said thank you guys for allowing me to join the fraternity, I suppose, and hopefully that we can have more people come join us. And like JR said, Waterloo, okay, you got Google Maps, you got GPS, okay, Waterloo, Iowa, the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame, it's worth the drive.
Hashtag, it's worth the drive. Well, I couldn't say any more than you guys have already said, and everybody knows how I feel about this. It's in my backyard, it's in my home state. Love going to the Hall of Fame. Glad that you hopped on. Matt, I'm glad that you hopped on. I hope more people do the same. Hopefully we can just keep bringing more and more people to this, get together, have some fun, drink some beers, win some money, watch some wrestling, talk to the guys. Not that they'll ever hear this, but you know, big thanks to JR. Got a retweet out of JR. You know, thanks for everybody, anybody who's following us now because of this. You know, I probably look like an idiot with my phone in front of my face, snapping pictures constantly and then tweeting in the middle of induction speeches and that sort of thing. But it's important to me to get the word out about this. So hopefully anybody who's out there who's been following us on Twitter since this weekend that gets a chance to listen to this, if you ever have an opportunity to go to the Hall of Fame, do it. It's worth it. I saw somebody said, you know, I never thought I'd go to Iowa, but now I might have to do it. Well, we should probably do it. So set aside the weekend to do it. Thanks again for listening. And just to wrap things up, for Dan, for Matt, for J.C. Layfield and J.R.'s Barbecue, for Q.T. Marshall and Maddie Starr, Troy Peterson and referee Billy J., and everybody else we saw, including The Claw, this is Eric Nelson signing off. And that's all that people need to know.